I'm very blessed to be here in this morning with you, and praise God. We can see our friends that we met and other people that we didn't met before. And I want in this morning, God will bless every one of us. We are very blessed to be here together, as you heard already, with my wife and our daughter. And we are thankful to God for this opportunity. And we want to thank this church, the leadership team of the church that support, encourage us. Thank you very much for all the help. Thank you, Dan, for the introduction. I'm not that apostle in Romania, although I would like to be. And please come alongside us and help us, because we need your help. We need you to pray for us, and if God puts on your heart, come to visit us and encourage us and help us. As a church works together, how we saw beautiful her in this morning with the globe. Yeah, God is there, God is here. He rules over all the earth, and I hope he will come and be with us and speak to us in this morning. Because the message I will present to you, and please don't think it comes from me. It comes from God, and he taught me something, and I think in this morning he wants to teach you something. So let's worship God, praise him for everything he does for us. We should love him and serve him for every day in our life. Okay, righteous in God's eyes will be the introduction part of my message. What does it mean to be righteous in God's eyes? We live in a world that people generally want to be right in their eyes, in other people's eyes. But it's rare and more rare to find people that ask themselves that they want to be righteous in God's eyes. And I think it's a challenge we all need to hear, because it matters. And my purpose in this morning is to show you that it matters and it's important, and to encourage you to live a life which is righteous in God's eyes. Now, let's play a little, and I will put some people there. And if you think he was righteous in God's eyes, you do like this. Yeah, you can do like this. Yeah. If you think he was unrighteous, you do like this. Okay? Let's try. So first is Abel. How was Abel? Yeah, he was righteous in God's eyes. Okay, thank you. And second, Cain. Yeah. It's so easy when you look to other people, right? So easy. Abel was righteous. Cain wasn't righteous. So that's why I want to go next to ask ourselves. So this is a question for this morning. Am I righteous in God's eyes? Am I? Are you? Or you think you are not? It's a challenge, and it's an important, very important question. Why is this question important? The Bible tells us many times that we have to focus, to think about this subject. If we would live in the days of Abel and Cain, maybe general things they did in the life didn't point us very clear one is righteous, one is not. Okay? And when we live our life, we see ourselves, we see many people around us, and it's not very clear who is righteous and who is not. So it's very easy for us to think it's not important. All the people are the same. They do generally the same things. So the life, it is as it was, and it will continue to be the same. So why is this important? The Bible says it's very important what happened in every day, but there will come a day when we all will discover how important it is to be righteous or unrighteous. I give you just an example. It's the ending of the Old Testament. We are in Malachi, and in the last verse of chapter 3, last two verses. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who doesn't serve him. So there will come a day when this will be very important. Maybe today is not important. Maybe next week you will think, it's not important. But it will come a day, and the Bible, and God of the Bible, tells us that it will come a day which help us understand how important is this topic for us. And I would like today to try to do this exercise. Think at that day. And at that day, when it will be very important, when God will reveal his glory and his rewards and his punishment, where I would like to be. Maybe tomorrow when I go home, I go to work, I'm a neighbor with other people. It doesn't see as important. But think to that day. I was a child, 7, 8 years old. I like you. I see that you like sports here. And someone brought me to go to see a football match on the stadium. So I was there, and a big crowd there, big crowd wanted to see that game. But I was surprised that too many people around there, they stood there. And there is a gate, and just few people went and entered in the stadium. I remember I was little, and things influences you other when you are little, when you are just a child. But that image stood with me, and I still remember today that feeling when I discover what happened there. There are many people, all of them are there, all of them want to enter the stadium, but they couldn't. Only few got tickets. It will come a day when God will open his heaven, and all people would like to go there, but you cannot go there anyway, anyhow. You can go there if you have a ticket. And the ticket for us to enter in the heaven is brought to us by Jesus. But also it has to be kept in our lives by living a righteous life in God's eyes. That's what I want to show you in the scriptures today. So let's come to our game. And was he righteous in God's eyes? Other people. What do you say about Noah? How do you call it? Noah? Noah? Okay. He was righteous. Okay. Second one, Lamech. We don't know. These are few names from Genesis. So I will challenge you to read Genesis and find him there. Probably we'll say he wasn't. Okay. Melchizedek. Yeah, he was righteous. Abraham, he was righteous. Lot. So was he or wasn't he? We'll speak about Lot in this morning. And we will see some things in his life. Maybe we didn't see him a righteous guy, but my title would be The Unrighteous Righteous. Now, this is Lot. And maybe in this morning, you will find yourself to be like this guy. You're not sure, unrighteous, righteous. If you read his story from Genesis, you are very determined to say he's unrighteous. There are so many things there that doesn't look very good. But, and now I want to read the Bible passage for this morning. It's in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse from 4 to 9. Let us read them together. For God did not spare even the angels who sinned. He threw them into hell, in gloomy pits of darkness, where they are being held until the day of the judgment. And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and the seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. Later, God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and turned them into heaps of ashes. He made them an example of what will happen to ungodly people. But God also rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. Yes, Lot was a righteous man who was tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. So you see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of final judgment. Okay, it will come a day, and for Lot, that day came. And he was a righteous man, and God saved him. For all of us, it will come a day when it will matter. So that's our challenge in this morning. How are we? And I don't want you to misunderstand me. Let's define some of our words we work in this morning with. What means to be righteous? I don't speak about the theological part of it. Everybody who comes to Jesus, receives Jesus, is cleaned, and Jesus' righteousness come upon us. Yes, this is truth. Bible teaches us. So everybody who receives Christ is righteous in God's eyes because we have righteousness of God. I don't want to speak about this subject in this morning. When you have the righteousness of God, you have to live a righteous life. And that's what we will speak about in this morning. What does it mean to live a righteous life? It doesn't mean that you don't sin anymore. No. Righteous comes from the word right. Right. It means to be just, to be right. And we all like this. We live in a world that we don't like when somebody does something bad to us. It's not right. It's not right. We like other people make things right with us, for us. But if God will come here, he will look at us, he will look to our culture, how many times he should say, it's not right. This is not right. Okay, living a life, a righteous life, means living a life where you see what God says, what's important for him, and you follow that things. This means to live a just, a right life, to be a righteous man. And God has challenged every one of us to try, to focus, to live a life like this. A life like this matters and will give all of us big reward in heaven. We will not be rewarded for what Jesus did for us. We will enter in heaven by God's grace, by what Jesus did for us. But we will receive a reward for what we did for him. When we live a righteous life, we will receive a reward. And that's important for us. And I want to encourage you in this morning. Okay, I have three main points. I'm trying to tell you to present them and make some comments so we can understand them. You start to be righteous when you pursue God. What was the Lot story? This man, as a very young age, a teenager probably, he faced troubles. His father died. When your father dies, you as a young man have to take some decision what you will do with your life. It's easier when your dad is there and teaches you. It's harder when he is not anymore. So what could he choose? Probably he could choose many things. He could choose to, from now on, I will be the boss of my life. I will do whatever I want. But no, he didn't do this. He decided, probably he was a young, wise young guy. He decided, I will stay with family. I will stay with my uncle. I will stay with my uncle. I will stay with my grandfather. I will keep learning from them. And it's good. And this is an encouragement for you all. The trouble that meet troubled things in your when you are young in life, you should stay with your family. It's important. They love you. They want to help you. Stay with your family, with your parents, with your relatives, and count on their help. Many things are very difficult in life when you are alone. And as he is there with his family, God came to his family. God spoke to Abraham, who is his uncle, and he has this discovery. He heard God speaking, and now a new discussion is in their home, something they didn't have till then. They worshipped idols, they did a lot of things, they wanted to become rich and live the life like other people. But now there is a new discussion in their home. God revealed to us. And Abraham is very determined to leave everything and following God. I don't know all the discussions there, all the questions they have there. But it's something interesting with this young guy. He said, God didn't speak to me. But now that Abraham leaves, I will lose the only opportunity to know God. I don't want to lose this opportunity. I'll go with him. How can a man, a woman in our lives, be a righteous? Where does it start? It starts when you want to learn from God, learn about God, and not always people have this personal discovery from God directly. Usually God is speaking to us through other people around us. So Abraham wanted to follow God. Lot takes this decision. I want to find more and more about God. I'll go with you. Now, how is your life? Did you start to understand who God is? Did God speak to you directly, personally? If he didn't, and if you have many questions and you are in big doubt, you heard some things from people, you see them, you like, they follow God, they have something you don't have, they are interesting, it looks like they believe something you would like to believe, but you don't know, you have so many questions about this. Can I encourage you in this morning? Follow these people that follow God. It's maybe the only chance you have. Yeah, continue to ask God to speak to you. Continue to pray. Continue to read his Bible. Hear God discovered himself to us. Continue to come to church. But much more important than this is following God's people. When you see someone that works with God, has faith in God, has disprove that he lives a righteous life, you do yourself the best thing if you continue to stay close with that people, trying to learn from them. Although sometimes things get difficult. Probably some of you that know the story will say, he wasn't that righteous. Yeah, he followed Abraham, but not so long. After a while, they had some problems. They have herbs and they didn't have enough pastures for them. The place wasn't good enough. And what did they do? They fight each other and then he left Abraham. I want to tell you it's not the real story. I know I was raised with this story that Abraham and Lot fighting each other. I don't know exactly the word in the Bible because I don't want to say something is not right. So the Bible used this term like strife or something. Strife, yes. And there was strife between, and look in the Bible, the herdsmen of Abraham and herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And they had a discussion, and it's exactly what they want to do. Let's be no strife, no problem between us. And this is how they solve the problem. And how do I know that they continue to support each other? Lot goes close to Sodoma, and there is a war, and some people come, win over Sodom, take everyone there, take Lot. What does Abraham do when he heard about this? He takes his best man and go and take over what that warriors got and give freedom to Lot. And they look. Their whole life is in connection to each other. Yeah, because they wanted to follow God, both of them. And I will show you later that Lot not only followed Abraham, but he really followed God. I will tell you later this. Now, their life goes, and you see, he is not right following God because he chose Sodom. Now, this is the hard part of the story. I cannot prove Lot did a good thing going in Sodom. I would say, at the end of the message, I will give you some ideas. It wasn't bad, too. I can't say it's good. I was raised like this. It was a bad thing for Lot, leaving Abraham. And what he did, he chose the best part, and then he goes close to Sodom and enter in Sodom. It was in God's will. I think last time I told you that I believe God's will has two parts. It's sovereign part of God's will, what God really wants to happen, and it's the permissive part of God's will. What God doesn't want to happen, but he allows. And for now, it's enough to say, Lot, get in Sodom by the will of God. Sovereign or permissive, we don't know yet. Okay. But what happens there? How is every day of Lot's life in Sodom? And I think God, in the book of Peter, calls Abraham righteous. Calls Lot righteous, not because he pursued God, but this will be the main point. You are righteous when you suffer because of sin around you. Lot gets in that wicked city. Okay? I know for this point I have to be very, very careful of my words. I know. I want to be very careful to my words, not to offend God first. That's important. Then I want to be very careful to my words, not to offend any of you. Gospel, when it's preached in a right manner, it doesn't offend man. It can offend man's pride. It can offend man's thinking. But it doesn't, really, doesn't offend anyone when it's taught in the right way and it's taken in the right way. So I want to be very careful. I know we live in a culture that departs more and more from God. Somehow, these days, my days and your days, sees closer and closer to the culture in Sodom and Gomorrah, unfortunately. Okay? And Lot lived there in this culture. But he suffers. He's not happy there. He's not enjoying the life there. Now, this is a matter of questioning for all of us, because Christians' response to sin in our culture is different. Many Christians think different than other Christians in this manner. So I would like to show you three ways Christian responds to sin. Some live in sin. Okay? When I say some, I don't want you to hear, I'm here, I live a sinless life. I point to some of you. Some of you live in sin. No. It's just an observation. Some people are Christian, they speak about themselves, they profess Christ, but they continue to live in sin willfully. Okay? It's not an accident. They know what they do. They know the things they do is a sin. They are clear about this. But Jesus died for us. Okay? His holy blood will cover all of our sin. We will not have any problem. It's okay for Christians to live in sin. This is a perspective, and these people enjoy sin, okay? Lot in Sodom wasn't like this. He entered there, there is big sin in this city. Imagine that God says, this is enough. It came to a, it's too much. It has to stop. Okay? Lot is there, but he doesn't take it like them. And I think we have to think about this. Because I don't want to blame just what the part, some sins. We have to be careful. On Facebook, I saw a message years ago, but I liked it. Don't judge other people because they sin in matters you don't sin. It's easy for us, in areas we have no problems, to see very easy sin in other people, blame them for it. Jesus taught us that we have to be very careful looking first in our eyes. See what problems we have. And in this morning, I'd like to challenge you to think. We live in a culture very complicated. That things were known as sins 50 years ago, 20 years ago. They are not sin anymore. And with some, I agree. When I was a child, it was a sin in Romania to take cherries from the tree Sunday. It's the day of the Lord. It's a sin to do that. I hardly believe it then. Okay? Hardly believe it then. I cannot believe it now. But if you want to be very careful what God's intent is for our life, for the day of the Lord, for you may come close to some feeling that we take very easy some things. Take them very, I don't know, sin. And when you take, and when you think like this, it's no sin to lie. It's small lie. Doesn't really matter. It's not a sin to do this thing. Everybody does it. It's so fun. You know a verse, very interesting verse. It's in Hebrew, I think, about Moses. God says about Moses that he didn't follow the short pleasures of sin. Okay? Short time? I don't know exactly how you read it, but sin has some pleasure. Okay? And some Christians said, God loves us. He likes us to be happy. So we can be happy about our life. I don't want to challenge you to leave out everything that makes you be joyful. No. In fact, the Bible asks us to follow what really makes us happy and joyful. But I will challenge you to do this. Try to read God's word, to follow, to understand more and more what He says it's sin. And when you find something God says it's sin, don't let the culture around you shape you. Now, if God says this thing it's a sin, very clear, believe it, that's a sin. And if you want to be righteous, don't live in sin. Don't enjoy sin. Some people excuse sin, okay? They don't say, I want to live in sin. They say, I can't solve the problem. They blame others. Okay? I do this because you did this. You made me to be bad with you. Okay? I wouldn't react like I did. It's your fault. And it's a trap. It's a trap. So big the trap Satan has for us that we really believe sometimes that we are good people. We do all the things. If we do all the things right, if there are not others who make problem for us. You remember Adam? When God told him the word and he didn't follow, when God asked him what he does, he said, God, my wife, the serpent. It's so easy to do sin while we don't take our part, our responsibility for it. And I think the culture grows and grows much more in there. And even encourages you to do this. No, it's not your fault. No, when you do bad things, it's not your fault. It's other people's fault. It's your parents' fault, your grandparents' fault, it's teachers' fault, it's anybody else's fault. You do what you think, what your heart teaches you. That's all you need. So, yeah, we live in sin, but really, it's not our fault. It's because of the environment. You cannot live a life like this here. Lot didn't do that. No, he was in the most wicked city in his world. And God says about him, he was a righteous there because he didn't excuse sin. What he does? Some suffer because of sin. Now, I don't know if this word suffer is the best. Well, I didn't know what other word to use, but you can understand the concept. They want, these people that suffer because of sin, they want to live holy lives, and they suffer when they see unholiness around them. And guys, I think we live the perfect time for suffering like this. Oh, yeah. There is so much ungodliness, unholiness in our culture. Now, we can't just judge the culture. We have first to judge ourselves, to see what's not good in our life, what we took from the culture, and try to repent, try to change all these things, and take them out of our life. We have to pursue God. We have to fight, the big fight in our lives to live a holy life as much as possible. And after that, when we become holy enough, how much is this holy enough? I can't tell you. Okay? Just we in relationship with God can say, God, I thank you for the holiness you brought in my life. I thank you for every sin I succeed to fight against it, and I'm victorious through your grace. I thank you for all this. Now it's not the time to judge the culture. Now it's time to suffer, because so many people around us don't receive God's understanding about sin and depart more and more from Him. And this will bring judgment over them. I know it's not a popular topic to speak about God's judgment, but probably just because of this, we have to come back to this teaching very clear in the Bible. God, I think, He already brought some justice over our cultures. Some things, they don't go well. Yeah, they could go better, much better. It's God stood against us, against the people that follow this road, taking Him more and more out. We have a writer in Romania. He's not known as an evangelical. He's known as a Christian. And he said something like this: we brought God in our buildings of the churches so we can live as we want outside. And we come here to meet God. It's the place of God's presence. And we come here. God is not only here. God is out there too. God is in our home too. When we want to be righteous people, living a righteous life in God's eyes, we have to do it in our homes too. God is on my street, how I behave with my neighbors. It's a matter of holiness I pursue for Him. How do I do in my work, in my job? Everywhere I go, God is there. He is with me, helping me to fight against sin in my life, and then to suffer and pray for the weak people around me. What do I pray for them? Sometimes we feel we should pray for God's judgment come over here, over them. Maybe we can pray that they will be saved. God will speak to them. God will bring a revival. We need a revival. We need church impact this world, the people again. We need it. We pray for it. That's how Lot lived his life in Sodom. His righteous soul, it's in another translation, his righteous soul was tormented every day by the wicked deeds of the people in Sodom. Okay, now I try to come close to the conclusion. It will come a day, I told you, when you will be proven righteous, when you will be saved from judgment. Now you can fight for this life. I want to live a righteous life. And you will see people saying, you're not righteous, you are not better than me. Doesn't matter. It will come a day when you will be proved righteous, when God will save you from the judgment. That day will come. The day when Jesus, that we celebrated not so long ago, that He died for our sins, He was buried, He was raised from death, and He teached His disciples for 40 days, and then He ascended in heaven, and He from there sent Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to do the ministry the church needs, and He is with us every day, and He works in your life every day, giving you many blessings. But Jesus promised, He goes there, He is like our priest, holy priest there in the presence of the Lord, but He will come in a day. He will come back together all the righteous people and take them, take us with him in heaven, and we will be saved from the judgment that will come over these people. In our text, they are called sometimes ungodly, sometimes unrighteous. The people, you know, nobody is not righteous because what is in themselves. People are living unrighteous life because they don't want to come to the Lord. They don't want to follow the Lord. They don't want to receive God's solution for their sin, for the problems in their life. They like to solve their problems themselves. They want to solve their problems as they want. But the judgment of the Lord will come over them, over all people that are here. But you and me, as the Lord did, you can imagine that day. Abraham is God's friend. So God came to bring his judgment over Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, I don't do it till I speak with my friend. Interesting story, very interesting story. And God speaking with Abraham. And Abraham, when he hears about God's judgment over Sodom, he said, God, we have a problem. Lot is there. Will you bring the judgment over Sodom, even if Lot is there and other righteous people? If there are 50 righteous people there, you see, we don't see Lot. He was a righteous guy. Abraham thought he is righteous. And thought, as a righteous guy would do, he probably have a righteous family and help other people to be righteous. He makes some estimation, 50, yeah, I think. Okay. God says, no, if there are 50 righteous people there, I will spare Sodom. God, maybe they are not 50. Maybe they are 40. They are 30. They are 20. Maybe there are only 10 people there. Abraham was for sure. He believed there are 10 righteous people in Sodom. And the angel of the Lord goes to Sodom, and there are not 10 people, 10 righteous people there. But they don't bring judgment over Sodom. They first take Lot and his family out. Guys, it will come a day when the Lord will judge this world. He did it with Sodom and Gomorrah. He had a lot of patience. But the patience of the Lord, as big it is, it will close. It will end sometimes. This world, the people who lived on our world now believe there was a flood. And the story with the flood is the same. The people revolting against God, against his principles, and there is one guy. He's a righteous guy. You all said, Noah, his family. God puts him to build an ark, and when he brings judgment, Noah and his family, they are there. Everybody sees it. They are saved from judgment. Saved from judgment. It will come a day, in that day will be sure. Yeah? Nobody will have any doubts. You are either saved or you are judged. But I want to show you something interesting. You are either under God's judgment or a factor of judgment. I told you I want to tell you some things about what is Lot doing in Sodom. I don't have wisdom. It was leaded, guided by God to go in Sodom. But while he is in Sodom, God used Lot. Did you think, why didn't bring God judgment over Sodom earlier? With Lot enter in Sodom, how bad could Sodom be in just few years that God says it's enough? Now, I'm not sure I have the right understanding. I didn't read this in any book. It's just my feeling. But I think God used Lot in Sodom to show the other people what it means to be righteous. And by him and his family living there, they all see someone different than them. Maybe he had conversations with them, telling them about God, about their deeds against God. Your deeds are not right in God's eyes. And now, in just a few years, because Lot is there, God now can bring fair judgment on them. You are where you are by the will of God. I can't say it's sovereign God, God's will, or permissive. I don't know that. Everybody needs to understand this in his relationship with God. But where you are, the culture around you is led by sin, by Satan, everywhere in this world. As we saw that globe, God works with much power in some areas today, but there are problems too, everywhere. Satan and his angels fight against God, against the will of God. And unfortunately, human heart is also against God and his principle. Because we all fall in sin. And somehow our flesh wants the sin, feels good in sin. Till the moment that we understand Christ came here and died for us, and he has something different, much better to offer us in heaven, but also here in this life. When we receive it, when we are full of the joy that comes only from heaven, someone who didn't have this experience, they even don't understand. It's unexplainable for them. But when God does this, where you are, if you continue to live in sin, you will be in under God's judgment. But if you continue to live a righteous life, you are there used by God. So many people around you can be saved. This is why we are there for. And if some of them would respond, Sodom would be saved. But they didn't. So Lot is there to bring right judgment from the Lord over them. You are there in your family. Some of them will come to the Lord. Some of them maybe will not come to the Lord. But God in that day can say to them, I've put this guy to love you, to show you my love. Why didn't you respond? In your school, in your job, where you go, we and you are called to live a righteous life. This is what the story of Lot telling us. Lot's story teaches us to live righteous lives, and I encourage you to do that. It will come a day when it will matter. And I think that day it's sooner than later. And I want to conclude with these ideas. it's not important what other people say, believe about you. Now, if I wouldn't have this part of the Bible from 2 Peter, I would say about Lot, this guy is unrighteous. You see how unimportant is what the people in his days believed, what the history believes about Lot. And it's not important also for you. It's not important what people around you say about you, believe about you. It's very important what God says about Lot. It's very important what God says about me, what God says about you. So because of that, I encourage you, if you didn't start your righteous living, pursue God. Start to looking for Him today. Look at the people that you see, they live with God, follow them. Go next to them, be with them. If you start to live with Christ, do this fight. It's a hard fight, but live. Fight. Fight against sin in your life and suffer for the sin around you. Suffer, pray, so God will bring salvation. And in your life, receive through faith, God, I want to live this righteous life, because in a day you will come and save me.